Hey, for those of you who we have not met before, wow. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor here at CORE, and yes, in the Carver household, over the course of the last 8 days, we have all been dealing with voice problems. And because of that, man, I started last service by saying this, and I told them they get the raw, unfiltered version of me. And I want to offer you guys the same, and the same to those of you who are watching online. Man, every once in a while, I think it's worth it just to make mention of the fact of how grateful I am for people around here who just jump in and say yes at the last minute, who just jump in and say yes in the midst of uncomfortableness and messes to whatever they can do to make heaven more crowded and to make Jesus' name known. Like I said, about 8 days ago, Krista started having some voice problems, and we just kept thinking, it'll go away, it'll go away, it'll come back. Nobody loses their voice for 8 days in a row. Like, by next Sunday, we'll be good. And by Saturday morning, things were not back to normal. And so she reached out to Anna, who has never sung here, never been a part of the worship team, on a last-ditch effort of like, hey, would you help me out? And she said, without hesitation, yes. Man, I'd be willing to just jump in. And you see, what I believe with all of my heart is that, man, we have a group of people here in so many different places, in so many different volunteer roles that just jump in and say yes, and because of that, I'm so ridiculously grateful. And on top of that, I'm ridiculously grateful that each and every one of you guys are here with us as we embark on our fifth and final part of this series that we've been calling At the Movies. And before you go off and you get too sad about the end being here, I want to remind you of a couple of things. The first is this, is that throughout this series, we have made it known that this particular series is a series that's unlike many around here. That there's just a different vibe in the air and a different excitement that we experience during this particular series. And yet what we've neglected to talk about is this reality. Is that while that's partially true, like next week you're not going to walk in and there are no other series in which you're going to walk into this room and there's going to be giant 8-foot movie posters all over the wall and a 22-foot pterodactyl hanging over your head when you walk into the auditorium. What's also true is this. Is that come next week when you walk into this room, what we work ridiculously hard at is this, is that the message you hear within this room and the words that are spoken from this stage are going to be just as relevant and just as tangible for our everyday lives as they have been throughout every part of this particular series. And that while the creativity may change, the next series doesn't bring along any less creativity or any less excitement for the role that it can play in our lives and in our futures. You see, next week we're kicking off this new series that we're calling Crazy Like Us. And over the course of 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this concept that every single one of us have an opportunity to be crazy generous in our city and in our world. And what I know about so many of us is maybe for you, you walk through those double doors this morning having absolutely no interest in Jesus. And maybe you're still skeptical about this whole church thing and this whole Christianity thing and what all that means. And I get it. And yet what I believe with all of my heart is this, regardless of what you believe about Jesus, is that every single one of us have a craving deep inside of us to live a life of impact. And over the course of the next month, every single week throughout this series, you individually, us collectively, are going to be given different opportunities each and every week to make a tangible difference in our city and in our world. Not crazy generosity as it pertains to CORE Community Church. No, it's so much bigger and so much better than that. And because of that, it's a reason why in series like this, we believe that it echoes throughout every part of the series that this is a church where you can belong before you believe. Because this series is going to meet that craving that every single one of us have, regardless of our beliefs about Christianity or religion, that we have an opportunity to live a life of purpose and to make a tangible difference every single day. And so I believe with all of my heart, while At the Movies is going away, the next series is just another series that you don't want to miss for the sake of your future. On top of that, the second thing that I want to remind you of is this, is that we aren't done yet with this series. And I believe, despite my voice, that we have saved the best for last. You see, throughout this series, we've been exploring this truth, that our favorite movies tell some of the most fascinating stories that we've ever witnessed. But what if some of our favorite movies have more to say for the sake of our lives? What if there were some truths within our favorite movies that could connect the dots from where we are to where we want to be? And today follows right along that same path. You see, this morning we're exploring probably the most popular movie of 2022, and a movie that finds itself in the top 10 highest grossing movies of all time. And if you have not seen Top Gun Maverick yet, let me just say this, you are sorely missing out. Because rarely can I say that a sequel outdoes the original, but I believe with all of my heart that this one just may do it. You see, if you've seen the original, and I hate to admit this because it was the year that I was born that the original came out, but over 35 years ago, the original Top Gun came out. And if you saw that original one, you know it centers on a naval base, a naval program called Top Gun, in which some of the top fighter pilots in all of the world are assembled at Top Gun under this one premise, that in order for you to become the pilots the Navy needs you to be, and ultimately our country needs you to be, you are going to have to push the limits on what you know, what you've done, and the risk you're willing to take. In order for you to be a Top Gun pilot, you have to be willing to take risks that no other pilot is willing to take. And as we pick up the second installment 35 years later, what we see is a similar storyline. While new faces have been assembled at Top Gun, Top Gun has assembled 12 of their highest rated graduates of Top Gun. And they've assembled them under this one mission, that they are to seek out an underground uranium plant that is set to distribute uranium for nuclear weapons around the world. And they must fly this uber dangerous mission to destroy from air this uranium plant. But doing so will require a flight that has never been flown or never thought to have been flown by man before because of its dangers. That there is an inordinate amount of risk that in order to accomplish the mission in front of them, that they must be willing to take. And you see, the crazy thing is that when we look at a storyline like that, and we get honest enough about our own lives, what we'd be forced to admit is this, is that don't our own personal lives often follow a similar path? That in order for us to experience great things, it requires us to push our limits. It requires us to do things we've never done before. It requires us to risk in a way that we've never risked before. On the backs of the truth that every great thing that's ever been accomplished in our lives, or for that matter, in our world, requires risk. Because the truth is, no great things have ever been accomplished within comfort zones. Am I right? That within our lives, there has never been something that we have accomplished that we would classify in the good or the great category that didn't require us to break outside of our comfort zone into what Kenny Loggins would affectionately term into the danger zone. That in order for our lives and our futures to be great, it requires us to put on the line what we've done, who we are, where we've been, and to journey into the unknown for the sake of our futures. Will that journey into the risky be harder? Absolutely. But will that journey into the unknown ultimately set us on a course that allows us to experience something better? The answer to that question is unequivocally, absolutely, as well. You see, for every single one of us, we want to live a life and have a future that is better than what our present or our past has been. And yet doing so requires us to have the courage to see that in order to get from where we are to where we want to be, there is risk that is required for us to get there. And if I could simply start this morning by speaking one truth into your life, it would be this. It's something that I believe about you and I believe about me with every ounce of my being. You see, what I believe about your story and your future is this, is that there is still a great purpose left for you to live. There is still a difference for you to make. There is still an impact on this city, this world, your family, your marriage that you are being called to live out. And what I believe with all of my heart is that you still have a purpose simply because you are still alive and breathing. If there was no purpose left, you would be dead. But here you are. And because of that, the reality that we must embrace, the truth that we must embrace with our lives and with every day that we've had left is this, is that there is still something left for me to accomplish. But accomplishing that requires me to do things that I have been unwilling to do up until this point in my life. Very early in the movie, as Tom Cruise, we know him as Maverick, has been called back to this assignment at Top Gun, this time not to be a fighter pilot, but to be an instructor of the young fighter pilots who are being assembled at Top Gun. We see him struggling with this concept of journeying into territory where he's never been before. A pilot is who he is. It's a part of his identity. And we see him explaining in the moments before the clip that we're about to watch, I'm not a teacher. That's not what I've ever done. It's not what I can do. In the midst of journeying into the unknown, there's this sentiment that begins to wipe across his outlook. This sentiment that maybe it would just be easier to throw in the towel. Easier to just quit. Because the risk is too great. And the territory has never been traveled before. And yet in the moments in which he's called back to Top Gun, one of his best friends that we find in the first installment, Iceman, played by Val Kilmer, calls a meeting with Maverick. And within this meeting, Iceman declares something in the Maverick's life that totally changes his outlook of his willingness to step into the unknown and continue to push forward. Check this out. You see, what I believe with all of my heart that could be spoken into your life and into mine is this, is that your family still needs you. This city still needs you. The world still needs you. It's why you're still here. And if our Heavenly Father could speak truth into all lives, it's why I fought for you. It's why I sacrificed my son for you. So that you, with the time that you have left on this earth, could make the difference that you were destined to make. And yet what so many of us experience in our present and have experienced in our past is this tug that exists inside of us. This tug that continues to hold us back from stepping into that unknown territory. That tug that plays itself out in one of three ways that we experience in a multitude of ways and in a multitude of seasons as we move through our lives. You see, there are these tugs that every single one of us have experienced, and yet we must get over in order for us to be able to live out the necessary risks for the sake of our future. But what are those things that are holding us back from the necessary risk? Well, the first is this. It's this fear of the future that lives in every single one of us. You see, as humanity, there is this fear of the unknown that we all grapple with on a daily basis. And deep down, we all want a better life, and yet in conjunction with that better life, what we'd also like to have is a guarantee. Am I right? That in order for me to step forward and to do something different, I need a guarantee that things are going to turn out all right. And all of us have exclaimed this, whether it's out loud or whether it's simply within our own heads at some point within our life. That in order for me to step out and take that step financially, I need to know that things are going to turn out all right. And if they are not, it's just not the right time for me to take that step. Right now, we're just not healthy enough to do that financially. Or if I don't have a guarantee that this is automatically going to make my family life better right away, then I don't think we're at the best timing for me to take some time away from work and stop working 70 hours a week. Because I'm not sure that my work's gonna look at me the same, and I'm not sure that it's actually gonna pay dividends in my family. And so if there is no guarantee, then I'm not sure I'm willing to step out and risk. And can I just say this, and this may sting a little bit to many of us, myself included. If we continue to live our lives waiting on a guarantee, the only guarantee I can give you is this, is that you will live a life full of a whole lot of regrets. Because what most of us should know at this point in our lives is this, is that life just doesn't work that way. There are no such things as guarantees for our future. Our world doesn't work that way. Our faith doesn't work that way. That in order for us to move forward, we have to let go of this fear of a scary unknown future. This fear that scares us away from ever trying anything new or different. But the second thing that holds us back is not just a fear of the future, but also a comfort in our present. But deep down inside of every single one of us, we like comfortable. Am I right? Comfortable and easy has oftentimes become this idol that we place out in front of our lives, striving to arrive at easy, striving to arrive at comfortable. And a couple of weeks ago, I got an opportunity to listen to Kara Lawson, head women's basketball coach at Duke University, address her team at their very first practice of the season. And as she was addressing her team and laying out what was to come in the upcoming season, she began to talk to them about this pull that exists deep down in every single one of us as human beings. And what she addressed her team with was this sentiment that deep inside of every single one of us, there is this myth we've begun to buy into. This myth that if I can just get through this season, then things will be easy. If I can just graduate from high school, then life will be easy. If I can just get my kids out of diapers, then my life will be easy. If I can just get my kids graduated and out of my household and out of my hair, then my life will be easy. And we keep living our lives striving for the seasons where life will be easy. And yet she flipped this script on her team. She said, if you look out into the world and you see any successful person, what you recognize is that there are no successful people that live their lives striving for easy. Because what they've recognized along the way is that nothing worth doing will ever be easy. And isn't that so true? Parenting is not easy. Marriage is not easy. Healthy finances are not easy. Nothing worth doing was ever meant to be easy. And then she finished with this. Successful people don't look to arrive at easy and comfortable. Successful people learn how to deal with hard better. And they keep seeking out what is hard, knowing that they are growing and dealing with it better than what they dealt with it before. And yet in our lives, we continue to seek after comfortable and easy. And in the moments of life where life has become comfortable, we begin to wonder, should I really step out of my comfort zone to help somebody else? Should I really step out of my comfort zone to try to make a difference when doing so could impact my own comfort in this life? And time again, that pushes us into a place where we don't step out and enact change in order to not disrupt our own comfort. And then, finally, we avoid the necessary risks, not just because of fear of the future or comfort in our present, but also because of guilt from our past. You see, if you're anything like me, it doesn't take a whole lot of time for you to look into your past and to recollect all the failures and all the shortcomings and all the mistakes that you've made. And as you look at all those shortcomings and all those failures that have affected your life and affected the people around you, what it causes you to do is this. I'm not so sure I want to step out into the unknown, knowing that I could feel that same feeling of failure that I felt before. And I didn't like that. Or I don't know that I want to step out into the unknown and do something I haven't done before to try to help somebody else, knowing that I could fail again, fail them again, and take them down a path where I've let them down and I've made their life worse. And we spend our lives continuing to hold on to all of this guilt and all of this shame that exists from the mistakes of our past that keep us from taking necessary risks and venturing out into the unknown places of our lives that hold a better future for us. But in turn, finding a better future that's full of the risk we've been called to take requires us to stop focusing our attention so much on the three roadblocks that hold us back from the necessary risk of our life, but ultimately for us to focus our attention on the catalysts we have at our fingertips. That when we use these catalysts for risk in our life, it ultimately gives us the confidence we need to step into the risk that we are being called to take for the sake of our families, for the sake of our marriages, for the sake of our finances, for the sake of our city, and for the sake of our world. And you see, what I believe with all of my heart is that there are five quick catalysts that each of us can begin to focus our attention on from this day forward that allow us to attack risk with a little bit more confidence and a little bit less fear. You see, it all begins here. Just as we said that the third roadblock that holds us back from attacking the risk that we need to take in our lives to experience something better, that guilt and shame from our past, step number one that becomes a catalyst to propel us into a better future is to let go of that guilt and shame. Is to simply let go of the guilt and shame. You see, if you're one of those who have not seen the original Top Gun, what you missed is this. Is that a turning point in the original movie is the moment in which Goose, Maverick's co-pilot, dies in an ejection moment from a plane crash in which Maverick is piloting. And from that day forward, Maverick carries with him the guilt and shame of the death of his friend. Even though Maverick was not at fault, he still, in every decision that he makes, allows that moment in his past to dictate every direction of his future. All the way down to what we find in the second movie, is it begins to dictate his willingness to teach and lead Goose's son, Rooster. That as he has this opportunity at Top Gun to now lead Goose's son and to prepare him for this top secret mission full of risk and danger, he begins to step back and wonder, can I do this? Should I do this? Because I failed his father and I don't want to fail him as well. But in the exact same conversation that we witnessed earlier of Maverick with Iceman, Iceman begins to change Maverick's story by giving him this one incredible piece of advice. Check this out. It's time to let go of the belief that the guilt and the shame from your past ultimately has power over your future. You see, so often we look back at who we were and we begin to believe that it's who we'll always be. And it's the reason why, if you've been around here for any amount of time, you've heard me say this at least a time or two. It's the reason why Satan, your enemy and my enemy, uses these two things as the most frequent tools in his tool bag that he wants to pull out in our lives. He wants to utilize guilt and shame to lie to you and make you believe that who you were and the mistakes you made will always define your future. That you'll never be able to shake that. And because you failed in your past, it's inevitable that you will always be a failure in your future. And yet this guy that we've been talking about so often throughout this series, a guy by the name of Paul, comes along and he's experienced what a checkered past looks like. What it feels like to allow the guilt and the shame from your past to define your future. And because of that, when he writes this letter to a church in Corinth, just like you and I who are grappling with how does our future coincide with the mistakes of our past, this is the truth that Paul passes on to them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, this means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. And this is so good, y'all. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Essentially, we no longer have to allow the shame and guilt from our past to define us because that old stuff is dead and gone. We have a God who sent his son to wipe it away, to give us something new for our future. And because of that, for many of us, it's time for us to let it go and to stop giving our past more power than it deserves. And then secondly, in order for us to find a catalyst that propels us towards the risk we need for the sake of our future, we need to stop thinking and start doing. We need to be courageous enough to stop thinking and start doing. You see, for many of us in this room, as humanity, we have this gene that lies deep inside of us called the overthinking gene. Anybody there with me? That when presented with an opportunity to do anything, you quickly run through your mind all the ways and all the reasons why this flat out won't work. And it will be a failure. Until you've convinced yourself somewhere along the way that it's a step not worth taking because this step will ultimately crash and burn. And at some point along the way, we have to stop thinking and convincing ourselves that no risk will ever work, and we need to be courageous enough to just say, failure or not, we're stepping out and we're doing it. This is what we feel called to. This is a need that we see, and we can't stay on the sidelines anymore, even if it costs me something. You see, for some of us, this point should have been reterm from stop thinking, start doing, to stop praying and start doing. Because for some of us, we've grown up in the church for long enough, and if you're not a church person, lean in, you'll like this one. We've grown up in the church for long enough that we know what the right words to say are when someone comes and asks us for help. I'm gonna pray about that one. And come on, y'all, I've been around long enough to know what that means. I hope saying I'm going to pray about it stalls this long enough so that they'll forget that they even asked me to help. Hello. Y'all okay? But at some point, we have to recognize that we've been called to stop thinking about it, stop praying about it, and just step forward and do it. It's the reason why Jesus' own brother, the dude who didn't even believe that Jesus was the Son of God until Jesus went off and did that thing where he said he was going to die and 3 days later rise again. And James is like, no, you're crazy. You're a whack job. And then Jesus went off and did it. And he's like, he might be right. And then James was given this impossible assignment that, James, I want you to be the leader of this new local church that's being birthed and grown. And I want you to be the leader of the local church right smack dab in the middle of hostile territory. I'm giving you the assignment as leader of the local church right here in the city of Jerusalem. And you know why that was hostile territory? Because Jerusalem was full of Jews that hated Christianity. They hated Christians. And because of that, James probably had a million reasons in his overthinking gene of why this just won't work and this isn't a smart step to take. And yet, in light of all of those voices trying to speak into James' life, this is going to be a failure. This is going to crash and burn. This is the truth that James just kept coming back to. In the 5 chapters that James is given to write in the New Testament, almost every single chapter, he comes back to this challenge for you and for me. In chapter 1, he writes this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And then in chapter 2, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Do something. And then in chapter 4, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin to them. Ayo. James just keeps coming back again and again and again with this sentiment. Stop saying you want to do what's right. Stop saying you want better. And just do it. I think James came up with Nike a couple thousand years ago. Stop talking about it. Stop praying about it. And put your words into action. Throughout the movie, Maverick keeps trying to drill this point into Rooster. That if you want to be a great pilot, if you want to accomplish the mission that is in front of you, you have to stop thinking and just do. You have to stop thinking up there and just fly. Because if you don't, you will overthink everything because you are being put into a situation in which everything is a risk that other pilots have been unwilling to take. And yet in this moment, they embark on this life or death mission. And Maverick selects Rooster to be one of the six. One of the six to destroy by air this uranium underground plant. And as they begin this mission, Rooster's overthinking gene takes over. But there is no reason that we should be flying this low, this fast. It's dangerous, and it's going to end in death. And yet as Rooster is overthinking this moment, he's falling further and further behind from the pack, which ultimately is putting him in danger of being killed because he's not taking the risk that he is supposed to be taking. And in that moment, as he's overthinking this moment and whether or not to take the risk over the intercom, Maverick whispers these words that change his direction. Check this out. Don't think, just do. Quit thinking and step into the unknown. Quit praying and take a risk. Deep down, you know it's what God's been calling you to for days or weeks or months or years. And it's time to put it into action. And then third, in order for us to take the necessary risk, we have to take some of the focus off of ourselves and be willing to risk for benefactors that are more than just me. Risk for someone else other than just myself. See, earlier we talked about our present comfort holding us back from the risk we are being called to take. And the only thing that breaks that hold on us is to begin to view our risk outside of our risk just affecting my comfort. And to start to recognize that our risk could actually have some bearing on the lives and the journeys of the people around us. That our willingness or unwillingness to risk is either positively or negatively affecting people around us who are counting on us to stand in the gap for them. And you see, the reality is when we begin to see our risk that way, that creates some urgency. I absolutely love this part early in the movie. It's before Maverick has been assigned back to Top Gun. And Maverick is fulfilling a mission for the Navy in which he and a team of people have been assigned to see whether they can push a manned fighter jet to the speed of Mach 10. Something that is downright impossible and has never even become close to possible in the history of the United States military. And as they're trying to tackle this mission for the Navy, what they begin to realize is that this seems downright impossible. They have not accomplished it or come close to accomplishing it up until this point. And they catch word that the admiral, the leader of the program, is coming to shut it all down. And when he reaches the naval base, they'll be told that they're all out of a job. And upon hearing this news, they get the bright idea. Let's push it to the limits before he gets here. And let's see if we can hit Mach 10 before he arrives and shuts this whole thing down. And yet what this means is that Maverick is putting his future and his career in danger by being willing to fly this plane and by ultimately putting himself in a position in which most likely he will crash the plane. And yet in light of this risk, Maverick looks at this moment and he steps back and he begins to see the risk that he's about to take, not through the lens of it only affecting himself, but he begins to see it through this lens. Check this out. You know what happens to you if you go through with this. I know what happens to everybody else if I don't. See, this sentiment is the very reason why James, in chapter 2, when we read that piece about put your faith into action, don't just say it, do it. It's the reason why that wasn't the end of what James was trying to express. You see, when we see what James continues on with in verses 15, 16, and 17, what we see is James give practical application to those words. You can check it out in your notes page. You see, James continues on and says this. If you see someone standing there in need and you say, oh, go with peace, be warm and eat well, but you don't give them clothes or something to eat, what good have you done? Does that kind of faith save anybody? It's this sentiment that the things we do aren't just about me. And when we recognize that, it propels us to be willing to take some risk knowing that somebody else's story lies at the benefit or the detriment of my willingness to step into the unknown. And then fourth, in order for us to embrace risk, we must see ourselves as an example. We must see ourselves as an example. If all great things are birthed from risk, isn't that something that we think would be beneficial for us to pass on to our kids? The knowledge that if you want to experience something great on this earth, it will require you to take some risks. Isn't that something that we would want to begin to model to the people who are watching us every single day? Every decision you make, every step you take, you are an example to someone. And it's the reason why Paul, when giving advice to Timothy, as Timothy's becoming a young man and about to go out and get his first big boy job, as Paul's passing along advice, Paul says this: be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. I love the very beginning of that. Be an example to everyone. And he starts with, in what you say, but then what does he follow it up with? But also in how you live, in what you do. Be an example in how you operate. Be an example in how you risk. At the very end of the movie, Maverick and Rooster find themselves in a compromising situation. After accomplishing the mission of destroying the underground uranium factory, they get shot down in enemy airspace. And as they're shot down in enemy airspace, as they're trying to escape, they stumble upon an enemy Air Force base. And they find an old F-14, a dinosaur in the fighter jet world. And they decide to steal this F-14 and fly it back to the naval aircraft carrier. But upon flying it back, they are intercepted by Mach 5 fighters, Gen 5, the newest of new. And what they quickly realize is that trying to outrun or outgun these new planes is seemingly impossible. That's a risk that's most likely not worth doing. And yet as Brewster sits in the back of the plane, a young man who He's consistently tried to echo this sentiment. Stop thinking, just do. You can't think, sometimes you just have to fly. And the moment what Maverick realizes is this: in order for my words to come to life in somebody else's life, I have to be willing to practice what I preach. They have to see it modeled in my life, right here, right now. And in a seemingly impossible situation of insurmountable risk, this is the decision in the moment that Maverick makes. Check this out. You see, what I like to say is that oftentimes in our lives, more is caught than taught. That more is taken from your kids and the people who are watching you from what you say, from what you do, as opposed to just what you say. It's time to see yourself as an example and start putting what you preach into practice in the way in which you risk. And then lastly, in order for us to step into the necessary risks that we're being called to in our lives, we have to quit believing that we're in this alone. You see, as I said earlier, those two tools in the tool bag that Satan wants to bust out more than any, if there was a 1B in that situation that he likes to use in our lives more than any other, it would be this one. This scheme to convince you that when faced with risk in your life for something better, you're going at this alone. And no one understands what you're stepping into, and no one is there to help, and no one wants to journey into this mess with you. And forgive my voice for a second, because this is where I'm going to get worked up. But the reality is, time and time again, we just keep coming back to this belief that I'm in this by myself, and if I have to do it myself, then it's not worth doing. And can I just say this? That belief couldn't be further from the truth. Because we have a God who wants to become our co-pilot. A God who wants to journey into the messes and the risks of life right alongside of you. A God who wants to walk into the unknown. A God who constantly wants to speak this truth louder than the lies of the enemy into your life. I'm here. I've always been here. I always will be here. But I won't force myself into the cockpit of your life. I'll be there in an instant if you invite me in. And at the very beginning, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, he says, I'll go before you. I'll stand beside you. You don't have to fear. You can be courageous because the God of the universe wants to go into every battle, every risk of your life right alongside of you. And you see, here's the incredible thing, y'all. There's a co-pilot that wants to be a part of the unknown future that we are hesitant to step into. But the good news is, if we invite that co-pilot into our life, the unknown future is only unknown to me. That future isn't unknown to our co-pilot. He says, I know what is to come. I know what will be. I know what you're being called to. I know that you can get through this. I know that you can accomplish something more. I know that you can be better. I know that your marriage can be more successful. I know that you can be a better parent. I know you can take this financial risk. I know you can do it. And I want to journey alongside of you through it all. You see, for every single one of us, there's a risk that lays in front of us that absolutely scares us to death right now. And it scares you to death because you don't know how it's going to turn out. He does. He does. And he wants to come along for the ride if you'll let him. In just a second, the band is going to come back up, and they're going to sing for you guys the title track to this movie. And as you hear these words from a seemingly unlikely place, Lady Gaga, what you'll find in these words is that it carries some incredible truth that our Heavenly Father, the one who desires to be our co-pilot in the greatest risks of life, speaks into us as well. That I'm here to hold your hand. And in the moments where you doubt yourself and you doubt the future and you doubt the outcome, you don't have to be. Because I'm right here with you. And I know you've got more in you than what you've been living up until this point. I know you're scared, but you don't have to be. Because your confidence doesn't just have to lie in yourself. Your confidence can also lie in me. And so as you sit there and you listen to these words, I want to challenge you to something. Maybe up until this point you haven't been taking notes, and that's okay. I want to challenge you right now in this moment to pull out that weekly you got when you came in. And there's an insert in the middle, and if you flip that over, on the back of that page, there is one question in bold on there. And in this moment, I simply want you to grab a pen from the seat back in front of you, seat back behind you. And as you listen to the truth in this song, I simply want to challenge you to answer that question. It's this. What's the risk that you need to take? Right here, right now. What's the risk that you need to take? Do you have the courage to name it and then to do it? Would you pray with me? With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, maybe the risk for you this morning lies simply in that last point. And I'm at a place in my life, in my journey, I need a co-pilot. I need a God who holds the universe in his hands that wants to walk with me. A God who my future isn't unknown to him. I'm willing to give something different a shot. And if that's you, and in this moment, what would it look like for you to have the courage to simply say this in your own heart, in your own mind? God, I've tried to do this on my own for too long. To be the co-pilot of my own life, never inviting anybody else in. And yet, God, in this moment, I'm tired. I can't do it alone anymore. I need you. And I made mistakes. I have shortcomings. I'm full of guilt. But because of your son, and what he did on that cross, I believe that today I can let it go and move into my future with you by my side. Whether you're saying that for the very first time, or maybe you're saying that again because over the months and years you've drifted from the co-pilot that you need in your life. With God by our side, we have the ability to go to a whole new level of courage and risk. And so God, for every single one of us this morning, may we be courageous enough right here, right now, in this moment, on this piece of paper, to name that risk that we're being called to take, and then to have the courage.